For our first message today, we have the opportunity to hear a sermonette from a local church elder from the Boise, Idaho congregation, Mr. David Blue.
Thank you, Mr. Schallenberger. Good morning, everyone. I'm so used to afternoon services. As he said, my name is Blue. I've been Blue all my life. My wife's only been Blue since she married me. As humans, in our many experiences, from time to time we latch onto these little phrases that we like. They seem to be meaningful, or maybe they're just catchy. Things like, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times. And I'm not talking about this year, I'm just quoting A Tale of Two Cities. Or how about this one, for you folks out there my age, go ahead, make my day. For those who remember Dirty Harry. Literary lines, movie quotes, song lyrics, these phrases can stick with us, and we pull them out when they seem appropriate. You never know when you're going to need that Dirty Harry line. What about when we consider the Feast of Tabernacles? Is there a phrase that comes to mind when you consider this time of year, when you think about what it means to us? How about, it's the most wonderful time of the... No, that one's... That's a bad one, isn't it? And now that's in your head, and you're going to hear it all day, and I'm sorry. That's my bad. That one's taken. We need a better one. We need a better phrase that we think about when we think about this day or this week. So we'll get to that. Yes, 2020 has been a difficult year, like maybe the most difficult of years, likely one of the most difficult we've had. We've encountered many challenges, ranging from health to employment, to safety and security in some areas. Things that we took for granted back in, like, March, when we didn't worry about going into a grocery store or shaking hands with a stranger. Things have changed quite a bit. But those challenges, those very challenges, can help us focus even more on the reason that we are here. We long for the world tomorrow. And we celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles in anticipation of that world, of that time when Satan will be put away and these things won't be. The ultimate goal of our lives is God's kingdom. And the first iteration of God's kingdom is represented by these 7 days, this Feast of Tabernacles, the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. I'd like to review three passages today of Scripture that describe that wonderful world. We're going to start out in Isaiah 11, verses 6 through 9. Isaiah 11, verses 6 through 9. Now, if this is your first feast, saw some hands go up the other night, if this is your first feast, remember this, because you're going to hear it every feast, I hope. This is what I remember from my first feast when I was 11 years old. I remember this scripture, and it's stuck with me, and most of us have heard it every year. So Isaiah 11, verses 6 through 9. The wolf shall also dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together. And a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. That's different. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. Verse 8, the nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Not exactly 2020 described here. Even the nature of the animals will be changed. This is a passage, as I mentioned, that has been read at the Feast of Tabernacles for as long as any of us has attended. This is my 52nd feast, and I remember it well the first time. Oh, I said I was 11 earlier. Now you know. Anyway, we've all heard this. It is the ultimate millennial setting to see the lion and the lamb and the cobra and the children the ultimate millennial setting. Do we still get that feeling of awe and wonder when we read this, if we've read it so many times? Do we still feel that excitement that we felt that very first time? I hope we do. I have a couple of grandchildren who would be considered in the weaned child category, and not worrying about them playing at the Viper's Den, kind of a cool thing, kind of a fun thing to think about. Because I worry about them every time they run out the front door because it's got that funny handle that he can get out. How do we get from here to there? And better yet, how does the world get from here to there? Isaiah 61, starting in verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord my God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. So we had said, how do we get there? How do we get from where the world is today to where the world needs to be as described in that earlier scripture? This is it. To preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. So as we think about the beginning of this verse, this scripture, we realize that these folks have just lived through what's described by the Feast of Trumpets and the prophecies around trumpets. So the Feast of Trumpets, all that's left, as we heard earlier, maybe 10% of humanity is left, and they have been through it. It'll make 2020 look like a cakewalk. They will have been through it. So here in verse 1, we'll start again. The Spirit of the Lord my God, this is how we get them from where they are to where they need to be. Because of the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of prisons to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all those who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes. I love that. To give them beauty for ashes. These people will have been through so much. They will have survived probably when they wished they wouldn't. And there they will be. And God will bring them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness. Well, that's quite the transition from captives, miserable, to trees of righteousness. They will be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. And they shall rebuild the old ruins. They shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. So rather than describe the end product as that first scripture we read did, this touches on the process that will take place early in the millennium, that will take those poor, broken people and turn them into trees of righteousness. Survivors will be taught, they will be nurtured, they will be comforted, they will be healed. And we will be instrumental in that change. That is one reason why we're called now to be first fruits. God needs righteous leaders for the millennium. Now, he could raise up stones, but he's chosen the harder path to bring us up into that role instead. No, it's a privilege and an honor to be called at this time and to be able to be there, because the millennium isn't for us. It's for those who will remain, who will still be human, who will still be mortal. Not those of us who will be changed to immortality already at the last trump. God needs righteous leaders for the millennium. We will have a role to play in guiding this world from the state it is in now to the state described in Isaiah 11. What a privilege, what an honor we will have. Of course, the main ingredient of that world will be a new government. Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7. Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7. D- description of the leader of the time, the new leader, our God and Savior Jesus Christ, who will come down. Verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forever, from that time forward, even forever. Righteous government, righteous rulership, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." That leadership and government will make all the difference. And the comfort from the Holy Spirit, and the nurturing, and the healing, and the teaching, so that the earth will be covered with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. 2020 has certainly been a difficult year, but we have this opportunity to leave that behind. Leave behind the world and embrace the promises that God has offered us. When times are good, we may not long for God's kingdom the way we should. Tough times are a gift. Tough times are a gift that help us focus on what is true, what is right, and what is coming. So what about that phrase that we can use when we talk about the Feast of Tabernacles, when we celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles? After what we've read today, I'd like to suggest one, a short quote from Matthew 6. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven."